The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidelon, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Still to come this hour. Looking forward to some MVP talk in the National Football League. We will get into some thoughts because that's one of those markets. Again, we don't really, again, the broader ones, as you were saying off air, who do you think's going to be in the Super Bowl? Like questions that are, we're way too cool for school to ask that question, right?
Yeah.
Which is why I try to incorporate it every once in a while. Like, who do you think's going to be in the Super Bowl?
So finally? Glad you said that. Yeah. Because we
never ask that.
We get into the way more specific markets, and yeah, it's
the most common question asked in football nationwide. I don't have to do a survey, but if you just put it all together, it's all, yeah, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl this year? Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? We never ask.
I did it to Wes yesterday on Long Shots. We were doing a promo for the College Football Guide. I'm like, hey, Wes, who's winning the national championship? And like, that's the most common question.
Jason Weingarten still to come. He just is just text bombing me with the whole Paul Skeens not going to win Rookie of the Year thing. Like, he can't stop. He cannot stop.
I don't know if I thought the intensity was going to carry over another week. Okay, great. Looking forward to it.
And Kelly's got some BMW thoughts as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. And you know what, Kelly? Let's showcase them on the screen. Let's do it. Tim Thompson checks in. Bengals, let's talk about Survivor now. Would tread lightly for Survivor folks, have been notoriously slow starting team last couple years in 2022 opener. Burrow threw four picks, lost to Pittsburgh, then week two lost to Dallas. No Dak as 7-point faves, and last year got smoked by Cleveland in the opener. Tim, good call on that. That's not gonna dissuade most. I'm just telling you right now, but that's a great sort of point to make about it. 3Jack H3131. By chance, are the owners of these sushi spot looking for any investors banking on a surge in business starting August 23rd? Hashtag insider pro tip. Yeah, man. Again, we sent somebody out there, our buddy Joe, and he was like, they're not ready for the smoke. Place is too small.
He did say that.
So they're not ready for the smoke.
I can't wait to see this place.
I can't wait. Well, it's not as small as you think, but it's small.
Right.
And I can't wait to see what the reaction is when I tell them the whole story.
How are we going to travel over there? Like my driving, I almost feel like this should be like a move the bus surprise situation.
Oh, it's,
you know what I mean?
Let's just put it this way.
Like I should be like blindfolded
it's
or something.
It's in no man's. Oh, I blindfolded Bill 80 when we went.
Really?
No, I know. I just blindfolded. Can you imagine? Bill, I'm taking you to a sushi spot. There's one catch. You're going to wear a blindfold. It's in the middle of no man's land, Vegas. And literally the signage, you know what the signage is?
Do you have a rough direction? Like what part of Vegas?
The signage, the whole signage is sushi. That's all it says outside
of
it.
That's awesome.
Rough direction, north, no, it's west of the strip, north-ish strip, but not nearly close enough to like Summerlin to even say it. It's just in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
All right. Robert. And again, the big announcement on Friday, 2 days from now. Robert Bauman, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. 2019 Niners played the Steelers week three. Niners turned the ball over five times and still won. Got to be one of the rarest Steelers losses ever. Oh, that's a good point. I do remember that also. One of the rare sort of minus five turnover games that you actually win. Johnny Vegas. Hey, Gil, I see a bloodbath in Survivor this year more than ever. I assume he's talking about week one. He says, with all the new blood in there, they won't even consider going contrarian in the first few weeks and will most likely be out by week four. I completely buy into that.
Yeah, probably.
That's always
the
case.
You know, like going back to the one question we had of, me going up against Baker, Survivor, I usually only do one entry. No, I haven't gotten very far because I do like to get a little frisky early on. Like, I want to feel if I'm going to be there in November, I want to feel like I've got some good, I'm still holding some good cards.
Again, those who crap out early, the novice or the person who it was amazing last year because we know somebody who got far who he thought that he was so much better than the people that got knocked out early. And then when he was getting far, he was blasting other people's picks the whole way. It's just like, dude, stop with it.
None of it matters.
You're not smarter than those people. They just chose to play it a certain way. The contrarian people. Anyway, Corbin, I'm sorry. But nothing worse than watching a play unravel right in front of you. I was at work last night following the Golubich play, and the old Gil voice played in my head, up five, love. What could possibly go wrong? Seven straight games. So as bad as it could. Seven straight games. Seven set points squandered, and oh, by the way, on break points, 4 of 15. That, by the way, is a great handicapping point. People are going, it's a results-oriented business, right? Your wins are your wins, your losses are your losses. But if you lose a match like that as a plus 180 dog, and forget the fact that you were up five love in a set, forget the fact that you squandered seven set points, but you went 4 of 15 on break points, 15 opportunities to break. So you look back at that loss, and your reaction shouldn't be, oh, that was a bad pick. Quite the opposite. It's about the process, and you just keep pounding away if that is corroborated. Barnwell, I just want to get to the rest of these real quick, because I'm not going to go as deep as we did on the Steelers. But he writes this article every year, his most likely to improve teams in the NFL, his most likely to decline. And again, just to give him his street cred, 27 of the 33 teams that he's picked to decline have produced worst records, in fact, the following season since 2017, by an average of 3.3 wins, by the way, per 17 games. And last year's improve and decline columns went a combined 7-1. So most likely to decline, number one was the Steelers, as we talked about, so many different reasons. He also most likely to decline the Giants, which, remember, this was my thing 2 years ago. Or heading into last year, I should say, when Brian Daboll was coming off his Coach of the Year win, where I was like, it was not him. It was smoke and mirrors inside the red zone. Well, he thinks they're going to decline even more.
That's a bolder one. I mean, they only had six wins last year, so.
They were four.
I'm on the under 5.5, though, so.
They were 4-3 in games decided by 7 or fewer points. By the way, I cannot recommend, once again, the Hard Knocks preseason with the Giants. It is a quick 5-episode binge, and the episodes are all less 40 minutes or less. So it's a real quick. It's so great. He has the Ravens as a third team of the five most likely to decline. I don't know if these are in any order. I think the Steelers were definitely his biggest, but Ravens most likely to decline as well. And that's just a function of the fact that they were so, so, so good, right? Yeah. Fifth all time in DVOA last year, the Ravens, only behind the 91 Skins, the 85 Bears, the 2007 and 2010 Patriots.
Plus 203 point differential last year, tops in the league. There's so much of that. They could still be a really good team, but I think it would be shocking to me if they were as good as they were last year.
His biggest point was that the Ravens averaged 1.2 points per red zone trip more on offense than they allowed on defense. That doesn't sound like a lot. That's epically great. So that's hard to sustain. Eagles also, they were 7-3 in games decided by 7 or fewer points last year. And we can all remember a handful. Well, at least here's four off the top of my head in the 1-score victories, if you will, decided by 7 or fewer points, 7-3. Four of those seven were, remember the Patriots opening day where they just got outplayed, but somehow managed to get enough turnovers to win that game. Mm-hmm. I think it was 25-20, the scores were released. The Commanders, Ron Rivera, botched it at the end. The Cowboys had multiple opportunities on multiple drives to beat them, and the Eagles still managed to win. And then the Chiefs, famously, when Marquez Valdez-Scantling dropped that pass. And the Browns, most likely to decline, are his other one. And part of that with the Browns is...
That's the most interesting.
6-2 in games decided by 7 points or fewer last year. So he does a bunch of the baseball. That's not the only thing he looks at, but he does a bunch of the stuff that I do for baseball in season wins, which, again, what was my favorite baseball season win this year? Over on the Padres. What was it last year? Over on the Rangers. And I've done that with a manifesto for years. Most likely to improve from Barnwell. And again, he's not a better, so don't necessarily immediately draw the line to season wins. Just got to improve. I'll do them quick. Chargers, Patriots, part of that's just because they're so bad. Chargers, Patriots, Commanders, Chiefs, Cardinals. Chiefs, by the way, should be pointed out.
Yeah, I don't know if any of those are that exciting of an answer besides the Chiefs.
Chiefs actually lost the turnover battle in 9 of their 17 games last year, going 4-5. The Chiefs had 43 fumbles last year. They only recovered 18 of them. Fourth lowest rate of any team in the NFL, and their wideouts, 7.8% drop rate, the worst rate for any team's wideouts in any season over the past decade. That's why he's got the Chiefs.
Still won a Super Bowl. Like, this is where it's
still won the Super Bowl.
We're going to talk MVP at some point, but like this is where like how do you go in the face of Patrick Mahomes anymore? Like it's just it's so tough.
Can we do an abbreviated version of Total Wednesday?
This is you want to do MVP?
Oh, we can do MVP. Let's just segue to MVP then.
Perfect.
Patrick Mahomes plus 475. Josh Allen and CJ Stroud both at plus 850. Joe Burrow 9-1. Everybody else starting with Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts 14-1 or longer. You already have an Anthony Richardson bet?
Yeah, that's the only thing I bet in this market. I do think the Mahomes conversation is interesting, though. They play the Ravens week one.
Yeah.
Like, they beat the Ravens. We like to say there's usually going to be a point in the season where you can get a longer number on someone. If we all feel this way about the Chiefs, is Patrick Mahomes, are we that sure of? I'm pretty sure you'll get a longer number than plus 450 or plus 475 at some point in the season, but
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not, right? You just have to be okay with it leaving the station.
Yeah, like this is one, it's kind of like a Scottie Scheffler bet, right? Like I can't blame anybody who's actually betting that right now. I really don't.
Brock Purdy, who many of us had last year, is 18-1. Can you get behind that again?
I can only because I think there's that whole system quarterback misperception about Brock Purdy. Like, dude's a gunslinger, man.
I think 18-1 is a pretty solid wager on Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Well, popular one that we've heard all offseason was Jared Goff, who's now down to 20-1.
Yeah,
though.
Mike Somich, Matt Brown, completely agree with it. 40-1. 20-1 is not 40-1.
Right. And even at 40-1, the problem is that he put up great numbers last year and didn't sniff it. So you got to have a change in voter behavior. I like that Brock Purdy, though, 18-1. Kelly's got Anthony Richardson. We'll come back. More football on the other side right here on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Un Partido de Números. For those listening in Spanish, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Are these tweets ready to go again, Kelly? Is that what you're telling me? Oh, I thought they were. Sorry. Sorry, they were ready to go. We were setting a new record.
One is.
On day one. One, I was going to say.
Rebranded if you want.
I'm like a trained dog. I see it on the corner here.
I haven't even sent in the new ones yet because I've been trying to find preseason odds from last year for MVP.
Oh, I see. Look, by the way, let's get back to that MVP discussion before we get to Win Total Wednesdays. MVP Cleve T.A., who is a frequent guest on the show, he gave us parameters on MVP. So again, very basic market, most valuable player the entire NFL season. And he has broken this down in a way that gives us guardrails. And we should always refer to this when we are betting or thinking about betting an MVP. So 11 straight MVPs. This is from Cleve T.A. on Twitter, C-L-E-V-T-A. 11 straight MVPs and 16 of the last 17 have been quarterbacks. And those teams have averaged over 13 wins per season. That's in the year that we are betting them to win MVP. So again, 11 in a row have been quarterbacks, 16 of the last 17 have quarterbacks, and those teams have averaged over 13 wins. So your MVP bet better correlate with a team that you think is going to be fantastic. No MVP in the last 16 seasons came from a team with less than 11 wins. So if you think they're just going to sneak into a wild card spot like at 9-8 or 10-7, they ain't winning MVP either. No MVP in the last 16 seasons came from a team with less than 11 wins. And finally, the average preseason win total. This you can absolutely check right now. The average preseason win total for these teams has been 10 wins with a floor of 8.5 wins. So those are Cleve T.A.'s MVP guardrails, if you will. We brought up somebody off air. Lamar Jackson was also 18-1, along with Brock Purdy. Here's my thing with Lamar Jackson. Is Lamar Jackson going to get to a point with NFL voters? And I know Jokic was a 3-in-a-row thing in the NBA, right? Because Larry Joe Bird, Wilt Chamberlain were the only two guys to win 3-in-a-row. Was it Wilt or was it Bill Russell who won 3-in-a-row along with Larry Bird? No, I'm blanking. But I think there was a group of NBA voters that simply did not want to give Nikola Jokic that kind of stratosphere air of having three in a row.
Yes, that was definitely a much talked about thing. I think there's at least something to that.
With Lamar Jackson, and I know it's not three in a row, but do you think if all things are equal come late season, do you believe that there will be some voters who will say, yeah, things are even, so I'm not going to give it to Lamar Jackson because this would be his third?
Yeah, probably a little bit. I think it is slightly different. I think it is different from the Jokic thing just because of the historical, part of that. But
it's just something to plant in the back of your mind.
I think it definitely would be a thing. However, like we were talking off on the break, though, like, man, 18-1 feels long on a guy that you know that is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, finally, I found it. He was 14-15-1 entering last season. So, yeah. Like, you're longer than last year. Yes, he won MVP last season.
I'm just saying there are only 50 voters, right? There's only 50 voters. So if three people feel that way, right, all things being equal, let's say it comes down to Lamar versus Player X. And if three people use that as a reason, pardon me again, three people use that as a reason not to vote for Lamar Jackson, that could be the difference. That's so it
absolutely could be. Absolutely could be.
By the way, it was Will Chamberlain who was the other three in a row in the NBA.
It's so tough with the NFL because, like, you always have to say this first. Like, we live in a world where everybody's healthy at the end of the season, right?
Of course.
Like, where Lamar Jackson, though, as much crap as I give him sometimes, like, if at the end of the season he's probably in a conversation with like three or four other quarterbacks and that's it. Like, that's where I think his floor is at when he's on the field. So I don't know. 18-1. It's another bet. I wouldn't hate if anybody made going into the season. It's another one. They play Chiefs week one. They win that game. Like, who knows where that number's going rest of the season.
When Kelly and I did a little show we like to call Primetime Action with our buddy Matt Brown, there was a divorce of sorts that was forced upon us. And in the divorce, Matt got Teaser Tuesdays, right? And we got Win Total Wednesdays, which is what we start with once again this year.
I don't know what he got. We took Teaser Tuesday, too.
Well, you violated the terms of the divorce because that's the kind of person you are. That's what you did, Kelly Bidlin. Never get in a divorce arrangement with Kelly Bidlin. He will take what is not his. It's a lesson there.
We did give him something, but I'm blanking on what it was.
I think he got Teaser Tuesdays, and then we kind of like a year went by, and you're like, I'm going to take Teaser Tuesdays.
Well, wait.
By the way, why are we whispering?
I don't know.
Okay. So this is usually about adjusted season win totals during the season, right? We have a lot of fun with that during the season. And this is, again, the history of adjusted season win totals in legalized sports books is a very short one. This only started several years ago. First of all, the notion of season wins to begin with, right, which, you know, a lot of people feel came down with Moses' Ten Commandments. That only started in 1989 when someone walked up to Jimmy Vaccaro and said, could you put a little how many games you think the Cowboys are going to win this year? By the way, he was a Cowboy fan, so that's why I'm talking like that. And Jimmy Vaccaro said, oh, I'll put a number up for that. That was 1989. Adjusted season win totals have only been around for 4 weeks, except for those of us who participated in a very off-the-grid Lehman Brothers type stock market thing where you have a buy price and a sell price during the entire year. It was the greatest sports betting vehicle there ever was.
Once again, feds, if you're listening, Gil didn't have anything to do with organizing.
No, I'm just a participant. I never organized any of this. So we do it here because this is the pre-flop version of it. And this is just always a good reminder. This is Warren Sharp, Sharp Football Analysis. These are his NFL teams with biggest rest disadvantages and advantages. Niners minus 21 games net rest this year. So they got the worst of it for a second straight year. The Ravens are the one with the best rest edge. But ultimately, the only two season wins that I have, the only two season win totals that I have in pocket right now are my two Steelers ones, under 8 wins, under 7.5. Those are +110 and +155 on the alt season win total, respectively. There's the Ravens, by the way, off screen, +16 on their net rest edge. The Niners minus 21. That's a 37-day aggregate rest difference between the Ravens on the good end and the Niners on the bad end. throughout an entire season. So all of this stuff, like that's just one element, but all this stuff should be incorporated as a tool. It's not the end all be all, but it's an element in your handicapping of NFL season win total. So Steelers under 8 plus 110, Steelers under 7.5 plus 155. I did not, although I've talked about it, I still haven't bet the Patriots under, excuse me, I never touched the Patriots. I don't have a bet on them in that market. The other one was the Commanders. Did I want to go over on that? And I never bet that either. I ended up betting Jaden Daniels at 7-1. So the only two preflops I have, because I will get into it adjusted during the season, Steelers under 8, Steelers under 7.5. You, sir?
Yeah, I got a few. I have 4 all unders, I believe. Yeah. Bears under 9.5. So I did play. I played the alt high under. So I am laying minus 165, but this is a pretty big bet for me.
I see what you did.
Yeah. It's one we rarely talk about.
You went oppo alt.
Right.
I see what you did.
Bet the alt high under at minus 165. I this is where I'm like, I'm not trying to hate on the Bears. I think they can be a pretty good team this year, but I think that division's tough. I think that I don't think they have the easiest schedule in the world. I think we're still talking about a rookie quarterback. I think you're talking to get to 10 wins in that first season with Caleb Williams. That is asking a lot. Steelers, this is as much respect as I could give the Steelers as me just playing it at 8.5 kill and not going on the alts and going with the more plus money. So that's the only one I have made on Pittsburgh, although they are one of those teams. I think Cleve T.A. texted us yesterday, right? They're one of those teams that I've got notes on of, hey, check this week of where this team's at is in in-season additions.
Everybody should have a note like that for, if not every team, most teams.
Yeah.
Where does the schedule get harder? Where does it get easier? So that you can sort of, as an alarm to yourself of, oh, do I consider a bet here?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And things will change, right? Like our perception of what will happen will absolutely change as the season progresses, but sometimes it works out that way.
And same thing like we brought up earlier, and we talk about live betting all the time. I want to get in on that now because I don't want to miss out, right? If there's not that opportunity doesn't present itself for us to come back in on an under on the Steelers that we feel confident in, right? So did want to get one bet in preseason on them, but definitely a team that I've got circled to look at in season as well. Giants went through with the alt under on them. I know that was one that Steve Fezzik was on. I love that Giants alt under as well. 5.5 plus 220, get all the way up there. And then I'm on Patriots everything. Last win list, fewest wins, under 4.5.
Yeah.
And I spread it out, Gil, because it's going to be like you want to hit something there, right? Like you don't want the Patriots to wind up with 4 wins, but you only bet fewest wins when some team only ends up with like 3.
There is still plenty of time for me to add, and I think I might with some of these alts. And I like your Giants under 5.5, and I like your Patriots straight up under. Jason Weingart, we'll see if he has any season longs. He's next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know what we have here on A Numbers Game, Kelly? Are you aware of this? The best listeners in the game. Have I said that before? Maybe 5,000 times? It's really true. It is really true. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Brandon Kyles. All of this nonstop Steelers and Skeen slander. Did Chrissy sign off on this? Talking about my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, Pittsburgh native. Well, Jason Weingarten is standing by soon, so I'm sure there will be some Skeens talk here on the way. And then he followed up. He says, is guessing lines happening with my mishpucha? I don't believe it is. I don't believe it is. James Spivey, Gil, do the owners and employees of the restaurant know about this fascination that has been going on for the last few years? No, they do not. They have no idea. That's why we're going to talk to them here the night before.
Someone asked me yesterday how long we've been talking about it. I was like, okay, so, a long time. And I was like, wait a second. Maybe it hasn't been as long as I think.
Oh, it's a couple years. I brought it up a couple years ago, and I was never going to bring it up ever again. And Kelly Bidlin, my friend here on the right, he was like, what do you mean you're not going to tell us the place? And that's how it started.
No, I was insulted that you wouldn't tell me the place. I was like, oh, wow.
I was like,
this is a real big deal. If Gil won't tell me where it is, a restaurant in the city that we live in, he won't tell me where it's at.
Gatekeeping.
That's when I knew it was a big deal. I knew I was on to something then.
Do we have any more of these or no? Is that it? Okay. I want to read these. Let me just read this one more here. K. James talking about our awards talk. He said, Gil, come on, the best bet no one talks about, Andy Reid, coach of the year. If they win the Super Bowl this year, never been done. Belichick was on similar run won coach of the year. He made Mahomes what he is. No Andy Reid love. Yeah, but remember, these are voted on as on the regular season, so we don't know if they will win the Super Bowl before
right.
voted on. So there's that. And then Jody Boggs, because really everybody just wants to talk about Survivor. Once you start talking about Survivor, he said, will the Bengals get 50% of the plays week one in Survivor? I'm going to say just shy of 50%. I'm going to say 40-something percent would be my over-under on the Bengals. Let's call it 43% over-under. It'll be a lot. It'll be most. Because, again, all the new players will immediately go to the highest point spread. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. And I got this text from Michael Montesano. He said, hey, could you get Jason's thoughts on the National League Rookie of the Year market? I haven't heard those yet. Jason, what's happening?
Just waiting for my invite to the Friday football thing. I think Vison forgot my email. I'm just sitting here waiting and
okay,
just so, waiting.
So this is not the first time you've brought this up. We should point this out. So Matt Eumanns does the Friday football handicapping challenge show, and he's done it. This is like his third season doing it. By the mm-hmm. way, Derek Stevens deserves the credit for putting up the championship money. It's an invite only competition. Felica won it a couple years ago. Fezzik is in it this year. Felica is in it. Felica gets
Fezzik
it.
Fezzik is in it, and I'm not. Think about that.
Well, what are you trying to say, Jason? What does that mean?
I'm chopped liver, apparently.
Well, Steve Fezzik has won a couple super contests. So I think part of it is your pedigree on winning past contests. So, you know, again.
I'm the winningest guest in VEASAN history.
Okay, well, we'll submit
we're just gonna ignore that.
You got to hit up Eumanns then.
Yeah,
this is
Eumanns.
Really like the stop. Matt Eumanns VEASAN football invitation.
That's right. We're not the liaison here. It's all his thing.
I mean, I don't have any contact with anybody on VEASAN outside this show, so okay. It's not surprising.
Okay. All right. Well,
we'll see. I'll see if they'll submit it.
Who do you think is more angry, Jason, about not being in the Matt Eumanns Friday football invite challenge handicapping contest, or Steve Fezzik about not being in a Hall of Fame? It's the
yeah, good question.
Everybody's.
I didn't realize that was a big deal till last week.
He won't stop talking about it. All right, Jason, you feeling good about Jackson Merrill and NL Rookie of the Year? Let's start there. You must be.
I mean, every major newspaper and beat writer and media property has taken a turn on this argument in the last week or two, and it seems like everybody is pretty well in agreement that Jackson Merrill is, you know, turned the corner here. I see FanDuel has a -120, Skeens -105 today. I don't know. I at this point, somebody needs to tell me what the argument for Skeens is, other than MLB Network, which embarrassed themselves with their discussions this week.
Was that an MLB Network show you sent me where they were making the case?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Was that just insulting?
The way it was done, I felt. I think there are others on MLB Network that would have made a more convincing case than the one you sent me. The one you sent me was kind of embarrassing, yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
It ruined my night.
What do you have today in baseball? What'd you bet?
Padres. I think I'm probably just going to bet the Padres every day the rest of the season at this point. Can't go wrong with the Padres, can you? They're finally doing things this year. It's really, I mean, if you followed me a long time, you know, I'm a notorious Padres hater. I don't like them. I don't like their organization, but you really do have to tip the cap to them for what they've done this year. You know, with Juan Soto getting traded away and not even really missing him for a minute, it's somewhat impressive. I see they were about -120 this morning. I see 126 on my screen right now, still playable. They got Waldron, a screwball pitcher today, a knuckleball pitcher, not a screwball. But yeah, I'm on the Padres today. I think I'm probably going to be betting them a lot down the stretch.
The Padres, by the way, for those wondering with the daily August update, the daily update of the August most MLB August win total wager that we have the Mets in, and we're going to lose dramatically this particular month. But the Padres and the Diamondbacks have once again risen to the top after they had fallen back to the field over a few days. Right now, the story there is, and I'll give you the update, is Padres and Diamondbacks right at the top of that, with one game in pocket above everybody else. So they are 13-Padres 13-4, Diamondbacks 13-5, Brewers and Astros both at 12-5, Dodgers 12-6. Giants lead the 11-win parade. How about that? Giants with an outside shot. But again, tiebreaker at Circa is fewest losses, so they're behind the eight ball on that. But Padres 13-4, Diamondbacks 13-5, with both run differentials being great as well. Which of those two, Padres and Diamondbacks, better set up for playoff noise, though, to get deeper into the playoffs?
I think the Padres, with the top of their rotation with King and Joe Musgrove, and I think they got it set up pretty well. If they get in, they're the team at the moment that I'm not thrilled about facing if I had to.
Yeah, Padres, by the way, two games more in pocket to play in August than the Diamondbacks, both sitting at 13 wins, and the Padres at 13-4 versus the D-backs 13-5. So this is the month for the Padres to make it happen. What could go wrong? What else besides the Padres today?
I got the Royals minus 168 for no other reason than Johnny Cueto is starting for the Los Angeles Angels.
Wow.
Johnny Cueto.
Wow.
How old is he?
Oh, my God.
What happened? Where did Johnny Cueto come from?
Wait. Like, Jason's screwing with me, right? Like, this is a joke on Kelly segment. Johnny Cueto's still pitching in the Major League Baseball?
He
like,
is tonight.
He's 38, apparently. So
38 years old. Yeah. 38 years old, Johnny Cueto.
Wow.
So you are on the Royals. You are fading Cueto, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Angels are clearly at the part of the season where they realize it's been over for a while and they're just playing out the string. Anytime you're calling up Johnny Cueto to start this late in the season, you're clearly not committed to winning. You're committed to, the future, as we say. But, another disappointing season from the Angels. They're the losers I thought they were going to be.
Besides baseball, you have written extensively at VSiN.com about football. Do you have any season-long plays in football?
I do. I'd love to share them with you. I haven't really finished betting them yet. So.
Oh.
Really.
Oh.
Can't.
Is there
can't really?
Is there one that you have finished betting that you could share with us? Just one, perhaps, or none?
Nothing.
No.
I've been busy with baseball. I'm still, I've kind of changed my futures betting slightly. This year, I bet a lot of futures at the beginning of the season, and then I don't do much after that. I don't worry about the in-season, price changes and everything. I'll ignore stuff for weeks at a time at this point. I think it's worked out well. But I'm still getting ready for football. I've been busy with baseball recently.
It does call to mind. There are many ways to skin the handicapping cat, right? But on a daily basis, on a season-long basis, we will have James Salinas on tomorrow. James Salinas, who has won a super contest, doesn't want to make a single preflop bet in anything because he wants to not be influenced by anything he has as a season-long arc when he's making his plays on a week-to-week basis. He literally wants to go into a season. I might be exaggerating, but he literally, he doesn't want to know if he doesn't want a preconception of the Chiefs versus the Patriots, just to use extreme examples. So, again, that's what makes this a puzzle always fascinating to solve. Jason, appreciate it as always, man.
Thank you. Talk to you guys later.
Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. Kelly's got some BMW championship bets on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. The quest for $9.2 million. That is the name, Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million. The name of the docuseries, episode one, is at VSiN.com now. It's a five-parter. Inside look at the high-stakes world of the annual Circus Survivor contest as you follow the contestants from last year as they made their all-or-nothing picks over the 2023 NFL season and went behind the scenes of the world's largest legal betting contest. Several VSiN hosts make appearances along the way to offer their advice. Episodes 2 through 5 next week, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Pardon me, on VSiN.com and YouTube TV, as well as a live broadcast on X. Go to VSiN.com/Survivor for details or to watch episode number one. All had a good time doing that, and it was edited well. It was funny to watch. And again, Stormy prominently featured, which was awesome. Can't go wrong featuring Stormy. So it was a blast. It's going to be fun to see what's in 2 through 5 as well.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I kind of want to jump to the end. I just want to see what those final weeks were like with all the negotiating and everything.
Well, the negotiating is a big the chop portion of things is so stressful. But it does a great job. The documentary does a great job of also.
I also don't know how much of that's in there. You know what I mean?
We don't know. We'll find out.
We've gotten some tweets too that were like, we'll "Hey, they asked me to talk, and I didn't feel comfortable talking. You know, at this point in time, I didn't want to talk till afterwards."
I know that the villain guy, right, the poker player guy, is in there who didn't want to chop. Mm. They do a great job of showing the scoreboard from week to week. They did an episode one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they start with 9.2 million, and as the pot went down in the first few weeks. Need more Wishnev. They had Wishnev with an appearance. By the way, Todd Wishnev and I, we're workshopping something. Want to know what it is? Thanks for asking.
I didn't think you need that prompt. I was like, is it a secret? Do you want to say
so
it? I'm
so excited, Kelly Billy.
I couldn't tell if it was a Jason Weingarten NFL futures bet.
Oh, no. Yeah, by the way, that's a great answer from Jason. Half times of prime time games.
Okay.
Half times of, I don't know about Sunday nights, but Monday nights and Thursday nights, Wishnev and I think, are going to go on Twitter.
Hang out with Gil and Todd.
And we're going to do half times.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like it.
We'll do a little Twitter Spaces thing. And so for 10 minutes or however long halftime is, we'll just give our thoughts on the first half and possible bets heading into the second half.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Love it.
We'll do it Monday and Thursday nights. Me and Wishnev. You won't have to. Yeah, no, there's no secret on that one.
So yeah, I think that's a great idea. It's probably something we should be doing just more of anyways.
Yes, we should. So more Wishnev in the year 2024. In addition to being on the Megapod again with Will Hill, me and Todd Wishnev, which begins. So here's the podcast schedule. Drew and I are doing the U.S. Open preview podcast tennis tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
this on the heels of the Q3. And then we are going to do the first Megapod, the Wednesday, since it's a week one, we might do it a day early, the Wednesday before week one. We do want as much perfect information as possible. So Wednesday, week one.
What is that, 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now?
This is an outstanding question. I probably should have had this ready.
But like you're doing it week of?
Week of. So we're not going to do week
three
one.
3 weeks from now, I think.
So week one begins on September 5th. So September 4th.
Yes.
Which is
2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks from today.
Yes, 2 weeks from today.
Yeah. So again, tennis podcast tomorrow. Then 13 days from then, we'll do our first Megapod. And then guessing lines for week number two, it always starts week two. And we do the live version of guessing lines that Monday. Kelly and I will do it here on a numbers game. And then it will be placed in podcast form.
It's only Wednesday. It's got to be the fourth time I've already thought this week where, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Like, 2 weeks.
Oh, me too.
Oh, I got to get signed up for contests. Yeah, I should probably do that here. I should probably do that.
And that week in between week three of the NFL preseason and the regular season does throw you off.
It really does.
In terms of a calendar. By the way, real quick before you get to your BMW thoughts, did you see how the Democratic National Convention did the roll call last night? This deserves a shout.
No, I did not.
Okay. You know what a convention, the roll call of conventions is usually something really, like, really boring.
Yeah.
By the way, Democrat or Republican, it's usually the worst. It's really the most boring thing. For the great state of Florida, home of Kelly Bidlin, and a sports book where Calvin Ridley made a parlay bet and got banned from the league for a bit. You know, but they do much more boring than that, right? But they go state by state. It's usually like, oh, state of Illinois, home of Abraham Lincoln, whatever, right? They do that kind of stuff. So they decided they had a DJ last night who tailored songs to each state. So Alabama got Sweet Home Alabama, okay, right? Just to give an example. Tennessee was like Dolly Parton, 9 to 5, because she's from Tennessee. But they did it state by state. And, like, it was pretty interesting trying to telegraph or trying to figure out what state was going to get what song. Minnesota ended up with a Prince song. California, which they waited till the end because Kamala's from California, ended up being Dre. And then California Love with Dre and Tupac after that. So anyway, it was cool. DC ended up being, I was waiting for DC because I was like, is this going to be a go-go song? It ended up being DJ Flex, Let Me Clear My Throat. Do you know that song?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it was kind of cool. So shout out to, because everybody was texting about that last night, that at least they made what is usually a rote thing pretty interesting.
Yeah, the conventions are, they're fascinating to me. I don't know. They almost feel like they belong in another century or something.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Like, and as we talked about when we talked about political betting, apolitically speaking, there used to be a time in this country where it was high theater. But for the last 45 years, it's just a, just an infomercial.
It just feels like there's way too much. It feels like there's a lot of effort for it to be that. When I watch these people talking, then you're just like, all right, this feels like it belonged in 1956.
Yeah. From a betting standpoint, though, there is the bump, right? Republican convention happens. There's a bump, and you'll see the Republican candidate move in the betting market as you will see after the Democratic convention. So it's
like Sunday Night Football. You see Patrick Mahomes in Sunday Night Football, and it's going to move a little bit.
Yeah. And there's still 76 days between now and the election. So that's the thing. Once you then get rid of these events, and this one will end on Thursday, but once you get rid of them, then it's actually like, okay, all that's behind us. All the hype is, and now it's going to be people fighting tooth and nail, and the bets will come, and they will be fascinating how the market moves up to election night. BMW Championship, the second of the three FedEx Cup events. Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, has some bets. What do you got?
Light card for me this week. We are at Castle Pines Golf Club in Colorado, just outside of Denver. So this is, if you're like me and you're like, hey, why do we play so many golf tournaments in California, Florida, and Texas? It's nice to see him mix it up a little bit. But this is what's tough about this from a handicapping perspective is it's a course we haven't seen in 18 years. So tough to figure out exactly data-wise what you're getting out of it. The one I will caution people on is everybody's doing the hold altitude adjustments, right? Like this will be the longest course. I believe this will be the longest course ever played on the PGA Tour at 8,200 yards officially. But, you know, it's at elevation or altitude, Gil? Elevation or altitude? It's at elevation.
At elevation.
It's at elevation. So you got to do the whole, like, adjustment for how far your ball's going to fly. And this is a big-time caddy week. Caddy and players have all been out there all week trying to figure out exactly that. How far is my 7-iron going to go? How far are my wedges going to go? So I think from a betting perspective, it makes things pretty difficult, too, when this is... Approach is always going to be the most important stat. You kind of need to figure out where second shots, how far they're coming from. And when you don't really know, I think it makes it a little bit tougher. 50-man field, too. This is more of the way I attacked this betting-wise this week. It was more of a kind of bet in numbers, which we say a lot. I feel like I say a lot in other sports, but we're so kind of data-driven with golf, and I would say tennis as well. But this felt a lot like the Olympics. When the odds board went up, Olympics was a 70-man field. This is a 50-man field, but that was Olympics 70, you could cross off 20 guys pretty easily that just had no shot whatsoever. And you're sitting there, when these first went up, you're seeing Scottie Scheffler at plus 375, Xander at almost 7-1. Like, these are the same odds we've seen these guys at signature events this year that are way, you know, bigger fields, maybe not tougher, you know, tougher fields because they are larger with other quality players. I'm not trying to slander the 48 other guys that are in this field because obviously they're very, very good. But when you're talking a smaller field and you're getting the same kind of pricing on guys like that, I think there's value at the top of the board.
So not as big of an adjustment as there should be, in your opinion.
No, in my opinion, yes. Not as big of an adjustment as there should be. So at current numbers, this is what I was expecting to see. This is where we were at DraftKings right now. 3-1 on Scotty, plus 550 on Xander. I bet Xander at plus 650. He has, I think this is for the first time all season, surpassed Scottie Scheffler in, if you just went last 36 rounds at any point in the season, total strokes gained. Xander has surpassed Scottie Scheffler. He is actually the best right now in the past 36 rounds that those two guys have each played. And then it is a comical drop between where those two guys are at 1-2 and everybody else down the board. So I played Xander. Look, Colin Morikawa was so bad with his irons last week. I know I kind of said I was going to bet him till the end here. I didn't plan to, except for now I'm seeing almost 19-1 here at Circa on Morikawa. That ended up being a bet for me. I will just be riding him to the end here. And then Tony Finau, 33-1, Utah guy, does have a little bit more experience playing up in altitude here and has been playing really well recently. So 33-1, just a few outrights for me this week.
What about an elevation instead of altitude?
At elevation and altitude.
He's good at that as well. Just curious. Altitude, from the floor to your butt. elevation from your butt to sea level. Just want to point that out. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the sports betting network.